as the agreed to list of amendments, Chair. Lindsay, may I please request that you please slide for us the latest A list? Thank you.
You are going to flight the presentation, eh?
Yes, Chair. Lindsay is going to flight for us. Is going to flight for us the A list, the latest A list,
okay,
in which we have captured the comments by members, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, Lindsay. Chair, with your indulgence, may I please request off? Thank you. Thank you very much, Lindsay. Chairperson, this is the A list that we have prepared, which we have sent to the service provider external to Parliament, to CREDA, to typeset and put it in a bill format. We are going to be presenting a Chair as clause by clause. And as I indicated, Chair, during my opening remarks, the A list is really the list of committee amendments which have been agreed to by the committee in its last meeting. I'm just going to be reading out the A list, Chair. So the first clause, Chair, is the clause that amends the bill as introduced. It amends the definitions, Chair, the definitions which are being removed from the bill, Chair, in line with the committee decision to focus mainly on providing for the comprehensive legal solution to foster care. Chair, in this list of amendments, in clause one, I will just read it out, Chair, for ease of reference. But on page two of the bill as introduced in line 15, after the word has, we've inserted if applicable. On page two also, Chair, from line 19, we've omitted the definition of adoption service. And on page three from line seven, we've omitted the definition of aftercare. On the same page three, Chair, from line 16, we've omitted the definition of care. And on page three from line 23, we've omitted the definition of caregiver. On the same page, Chair, which is page three from line 24, we have omitted the definition of circumcision. On page three from line 27, we've omitted the definition of clerk of the court. And on page three from line 38, we've omitted the definition of early childhood development center. On page three from line 43, we've omitted the definition of early childhood development service. On page three from line 50, we've omitted the definition of family counselor. Please go up, Lindy. On page three from line 55, Chair, we've omitted the definition of genital mutilation. On page four from line one to omit the definition of inter-country adoption. And on page four from line eight, we've omitted the definition of midwife. On the same page from line 11, please just go up down Lindy a bit. We've omitted the definition of nurse. And on the same page from line 16, we've omitted the definition of party. On page four from line 21, we've omitted the definition of regional court. On page four from line 24, we've omitted the definition of separated migrant child. On the same page, Chair, from line 30, we've omitted the definition of sexual abuse. On page four from line 42, we've omitted the definition of temporary safe care. And on page four from line 51, we've omitted the definition of unaccompanied migrant child. And on page four from line 57, we've substituted section four, Chair. So, Chair, that is the first clause, which is the clause of all of the amendments that are going to be excluded from the bill, Chair. And it will be reflected as such in the B version, Chair, which will be presented to members. On the second clause, Chair, is clause two, which is the new clause. This came as a result of the instruction by honorable members in the discussion the committee had. Can you please just go up, Lindy, so that we have the clause on the full screen? In respect of this clause, members, this is the amendment. It's a new amendment. It was not part of the bill. It's a consequential amendment that results from deliberations of the committee, Chair. It also came through during the submissions by members, Chair, this amendment of for Section 24. We've included in the A list this news clause, Chair, and it reads as follows. On page 7, after line 46, we have added the following new clause. Amendment of Section 24 of Act 38 of 2005. Clause 2. Section 24 of the Principal Act is hereby amended by the following. Please go up, lady. Is hereby amended by the following subsection. And the section reads as follows. Any person having an interest in the care, comma, well-being and development of a child may apply to the High Court or Children's Court for an order granting guardianship of the child of the applicant. Chair, in respect of this clause, we have added the underlined word and extended the jurisdiction in line with the committee's instruction. We now have the Children's Court also having the authority to extend, Chairperson, in line with that provision. It's a new clause, Chair, added. It does not extend the subject matter of the bill, did not need the permission of the Assembly. It's merely a consequential clause and to align the legislation. So we've amended in respect of that, Chair. And then in the next clause, Chair, are there the next clause that...
I'm sorry to interrupt. Sorry to the legal advisor. Are we able to comment on these clauses now, or would you like us to wait till the end? Because I wanted to just make a editing suggestion, a small word, Chair.
Can we finish up as we requested you to, and then note whatever that you think is left behind?
Thanks.
Sure.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, we will be most indebted to members with their comments, and we will note them as such, Chair, improve the work that we've already done where it is. Clause 2, Chair, has been rejected, and it forms part of those clauses going into the committee bill in line with the decision of the committee. Clause 3, the same, Chair, going to the committee bill 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Those clauses will form part of the committee bill that agreed to by the committee. Clause 10, 11, 12, 13, also forming part of the committee bill that is coming, Chair, which will deal with the general clauses. 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, and 19. Those clauses also forming part of the committee bill. Clause 20, 21, 22, 23. Forming part of the general clauses going into the bill. Then there is clause 24, Chair, where the committee had given us instructions to go and delete those words. The words we are deleting in that clause, Chair, are the words which are bolded and put in brackets, which is an orphaned or abandoned. We have deleted those clauses, Chair. That's in page 10 from line 44. And we've added the word A, Chairperson, and then deleted those ones that are in square brackets and bolded. In clause 25, 26, 27, and 28, we have they form part of those clauses kept in abeyance, Chair, that will be forming part of the committee bill. 28, 29, 30, 31, same clause rejected, Chair, technically meaning they're going into the committee bill and are kept in abeyance. The same with 31, 32, clause 33, 34, 35, forming part of the committee bill and kept in abeyance. May I request that you please go up slightly, Lindy? Thank you. Clauses 36, 37, 38, 39 are clauses that are technically rejected in the A-list that will form part of the general clauses going into the committee bill. The same with clause 40, 41, and 42. 43, 44, 45, 46, all part of the general clauses. That's 39 as well, Chair, as reflected in the A-list. 46, 47, 48 also rejected, technically meaning it's going into the committee bill as decided by the committee. Clause 49, 50, 51, 52, 53, 54, 55, a decision in respect of this clause is taken by the committee that they should form part of the committee bill. The same with clause 56, Chair, as reflected in the A list. Those clauses are clauses kept in abeyance and going to the committee bill as set up. And then in 56, Chair, we had an instruction from the committee to include to reject the old 56 in the bill as introduced and to replace it with this new clause. It reads as follows, Chair, it's an amendment of section 105 of the Act. It reads as follows. Section 105 of the Principal Act is hereby amended by the insertion after subsection 5 of the following subsection. The department must, comma, as prescribed, develop and conduct a quality assurance process for the evaluation of A, child protection services, and D, child protection organizations as contemplated in section 107, full stop. And then clauses 57, 58 form part of the general clauses that are rejected, Chair, and going to the committee bill. The same with 59, 60, 61, 62, 63, and 64. Kept in abeyance as part of the general clauses which the committee will deal with at a later stage. And 65, 66, 67, 68, 69, 70, 71, all those clauses forming part of the general clauses are going to be accommodated in a committee bill. Please go up, Lindsay. Clauses 73, 74, 75, 76, 77, 78, 79, 80, 81. Sorry, 80. Those clauses are rejected, Chair. They are going into the A list. Sorry, they are going into the committee bill. They are removed from the bill as introduced, as it is being focusing on comprehensive legal solution for foster care. Clause 81, Chair, is rejected as well, along with those clauses that are going to form general clauses. In 82, Chair, we had an instruction from members in the committee as well as in the suggestions by members to make amendments, Chair, by deleting those words that are in square brackets and boxes. We've omitted those words, Chair, in line with the instructions of members on page 32 from line 8, as well as from line 8 on the same page, Chairperson. And then in clause 85, Chair, in line 50, we've omitted the words in square brackets, and we've added the words below that, Chairperson, on the same line. Clause 86, Chair, also forms part of the rejected clauses or those clauses that are going to form part of the general amendments in the coming committee bill. Please go up, Lindsay. Chair, we're on page 10 of the A list, and this is an amendment to section 159. We have a new clause, which is an amendment to section 159. Of the Act. It reads as follows. Section 159 of the Principal Act is hereby amended by the insertion after subsection 2 of the following subsections. 2A, a court may extend an alternative care order that has lapsed or make an interim order for a period not exceeding 6 months on good cause shown. We did receive let me just read the whole clause, Chairperson, before I can comment. And 2B reads as follows. Notwithstanding the amendment to section 151A, an order placing an orphaned or abandoned child in foster care with a family member in terms of section 156 before or on the date of this amendment act may be extended by the court in terms of section 159(2) or section 186(2). Full stop. So in respect of 2A, we had received comments from members to include a time frame of 3 years. The proposal by members here had policy implications, which Advocate Chochisa is going to speak to Chairperson in response to the proposals by members in that regard. And then clause 87, 88, 89 form part of the committee bill, Chair. They are general clauses that are not directly related to foster care. Please go up, Lindy. The following clauses 90, 91, 95, 96, 97, 98 are also part of the clauses that are going to form the committee bill chairperson that is envisaged by the committee, our general clauses. 97, 98, please go up, please. 99, 100, 101, 102, 103, 104, 105. All those clauses forming part of the clauses that go into the committee bill and rejected technically during this amendment process. 106, 107, 108, 109, 110, 111. Similarly, Chair, will form part of the committee bill that is envisaged by the committee and are rejected herein. Clauses 112, 113, 114, 115, 116, 117, and 118, also forming part of those clauses that are kept in abeyance, Chair, and rejected in the respect of this A list. Clauses 119, 120, 121, 122, 123, 124, 125, 126, 127, 128, 129, 130, 131, 132. As members can reflect, these clauses are rejected and kept in abeyance to form part of the A list as decided. So part of the committee bill as decided by the committee chair and therefore rejected in the A list. The 133 clause, 134, 135, 136, 137, 138, 139, 140, 141, 142, 143, 144, 145, 146. Those clauses are clauses kept in abeyance as per the decision of the committee would form part of the committee bill as general clauses. And then in 146, Chairperson, we rejected that clause and proposed a new clause. This is a clause that takes care of the issue which was discussed by the committee where we had advised that this matter will be best accommodated in clause 160 as a consequential amendment, providing that the matters are regulated by that section be provided for in the regulations. And therefore, the drafting team proposed that section, Chairperson, as a new inclusion, an amendment to 160, which is the power to make regulations, but specifically providing here the following, Chair, which is a new CA in 160, reading the procedure, comma, form and manner that a social service practitioner must follow in assessing, screening, investigating, referring to the relevant authority and placing a child who is in need of care and protection. So that's the proposed new clause, Chairperson, that we have included here as per the decision of the committee in its last meeting as an amendment to 160, Chair, which is consequential. Also, this new clause, not forming part of the bill as introduced, but a consequential clause, Chair. And also based on, also Chairperson, based on public input as per the matrix which we considered. Chairperson, we've also, as a consequence of the committee's decision to reject all of these clauses that I've mentioned, have had to go and amend the long title, Chair, so that we align it to the committee's decision. We have then made that proposed amendment, Chair, and in our drafting ability, Chair, we have proposed the new long title as reading as follows. To amend the new long title reads as follows. To amend the Children's Act of 2005, so as to amend and insert certain definitions, to extend the Children's Court jurisdiction, to further provide for the care of abandoned or orphaned children, and additional matters that may be regulated. To provide for additional matters relating to children in alternative care, and to provide for matters connected therewith. Chairperson, that is our A list. As per the instructions of the committee, to the best that we could capture, Chair. And as I've mentioned, some of the issues that have been commented by members on relating which have policy implications will be presented by my colleague, Advocate Inspector from the department. In respect of the memorandum of the memorandum to the proposed bill, Chair, we have made amendments in respect of that, Chair, to reflect the changes made in this A list. Thank you very much, Chairperson, for the opportunity.
Okay, thank you very much. Mr. Chairman. Hello. I see that we are on deliberation. Over to, I see the hands, I'll note them. But the first one was Honorable Lizelle. And then I think it will be followed by Honorable Masango. I see the hand. Can we give over to Advocate Ntutis on what Mr. Mchangane was saying so as to be able to deliberate?
Thank you, Honorable Chair, and good morning, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, and also colleagues. The issue is around the three-year period that is suggested, as members have given us some input to look at, especially around Section 159, relating to the duration and extension of alternative care orders, and the issue of what would happen once these orders have elapsed at the end of the day. There was a proposal that was made that there must be a three-year period from the date of commencement of this act that must be taken into account so that children cannot be left destitute at the end of the day. The indication is that we disagree as a department with regard to this proposal. Because in the transitional mechanisms that we have taken into account are those that are around the period of 6 months as contemplated in Section 48 of the Children's Act. We must take into account that Section 48 has not been part of the amendments, and the time frame for the extension of the last foster care orders is contemplated in that particular provision. So we would be extending in one way or another the mandate of this bill or the extent of this bill if we're going to go via the route of using the three-year period. And apart from the social workers' responsibility to submit reports with recommendations for extension of the alternative care orders, the children's courts themselves have a responsibility to monitor the orders in terms of Section 65 of the Act. And then the provision in terms of this particular provision is that it would be initiated by the children's court, and the social worker can also approach the children's court on good cause shown to have the order extended for a period of 6 months pending the submission of the comprehensive report. As social workers have got that responsibility, and as I indicated, that is, this is already catered for in Section 48 of the Act. So this particular section must be read together with Section 48 of the Children's Court, which has not been amended or which is not part of these amendments. And also Section 65, which talks to the monitoring of these orders before they can actually come to an end. So the order this particular order gets to be issued within the period in which the previous order is due to lapse, in conjunction with the provision of Section 48, as I indicated, in order to prevent the order from lapsing, that it would not result to the foster care grant lapsing. As a result, the concerns raised in terms of the foster care grant lapsing would not be realized at the end of the day. The other issue, Honorable Chair, is around the orphans or that are in the care of family members, which must be excluded. And the indication is that it cannot be correct in that way, because the whole concept that is being introduced in Section 160C capital A, which speaks about investigation as to the status, that is investigation, assessment, and screening of a child, will be the one that is going to determine whether the child is in need of care and protection. It cannot be automatic that because the child is with the family member, is in the care of a family member, then that child is not in need of care and protection. It will be the result of the screening, the assessment and investigation that is contemplated in the proposed amendment of Section 160, that is with the inclusion of Section 160C, capital A. Thanks, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members.
Thank you, Advocate Chisa. Then I think the explanation has been done in terms of whatever that Advocate Jenani was saying. In terms of, can we then go to the deliberations and things that we have noted as members? Honorable Lizelle, you are the first one because I said to you, hold on until we finish presenting the OEA list, followed by Honorable Masango, Honorable Alexandra.
Thank you so much, Chairperson, and good morning to you and good morning to all the colleagues and the representatives from the legal team as well as the department. I would like to start with clause, can we go to section 24 that has been amended? I wanted to just read that sentence again. If we could just go there, yes. It reads, any person having an interest in the care, well-being and development of a child may apply to the High Court or Children's Court for an order granting guardianship of the child of the applicant. It should read of the child to the applicant. If I'm correct. Can we just look at that? And then I think with regards to, I listened in the introduction to what the our committee secretary said in terms of a minority report. And so I don't think we'll delve into some of the issues, of course, again, which we've moved past. But I think, you know, with regards to the minority report, Lindy, I think you'll have to include the discussions we had, some of us, in terms of wanting to include clause 10, section 21, which I think we'll have to go into the minority report. Then if we go down to, and then I wanted to say now in terms of the explanation that were given to us by the department, it would have been helpful if we could have put on the screen the submissions that we made in terms of the some of the amendments that we sent through to the legal advisors. Because, for example, clause 86, section 159, the recommendations, of course, has not been included, and now the department is arguing against some of our inclusions, and yet it's not here so that we can debate the issue. The problem is that the fight is we want orphans in foster care with family members. So that this, what I want to argue for is we can't now just get one opinion from the department and we're not able to see the changes that we have suggested. So is there any way, Chairperson, that we can put our suggestions on the screen and read through them and then debate them as to whether they should be included or not? Because at the end of the day, as we've said before, it is our bill, our suggestions, and they should be taken into consideration. So I wanted to know if that's a possibility, Chairperson.
Can we get to Bridget, Honorable Bridget?
Thank you, Chair. Thank you so much, Chairperson. And my hand was up earlier on after you had just spoken. Just to also join you in expressing condolences to the families and the loved ones of our young children that died in the Eastern Cape, just to say that we are with those families. we are with, you know, the communities where this happened, in our prayers, in our thoughts. And we really, it was devastating to hear this very, very tragic and sad news. And also, Chairperson, when it comes to the deliberations as the presentation has been done, I would like to thank the Parliamentary Legal Advisor and for the presentation, and just also reiterate the request for the proposals to be flighted, because that for me says we are deliberating. We are saying, here is my proposal, or we saw your proposal, as the Parliamentary Legal Advisor said earlier on. I understood the advocate to be saying that whilst all those proposals were received, the reason why they were not in the amended A-list was because they were not agreed. And I am of the opinion that, or the view that, the agreeing and not agreeing would have happened if there was a deliberation at all, not just to say them and then they are decidedly not included. I'm not saying that I'm wanting to delay or obstruct what is going on now. I'm all for it, for the reasons that have been given by the chairperson all the time, Honorable Stock, and today the acting Director General of the department. So I am supporting the colleagues that have asked for the flighting of the proposals, so that we know that these proposals were flighted in this meeting of the members of the portfolio committee. They were deliberated upon, they were properly sort of not included after some kind of a deliberation of sorts. And Chairperson, also I want to support the approach of the minority report, and obviously when that process ensues, one will be able to provide the information that needs to get into that report, as it were. Other than that, Chairperson, I would like to thank the Parliamentary Legal Advisor for presenting the A-list as has been done now. Thank you so much, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, Honourable Masango. Honourable Alex?
Thank you, Chairperson. Firstly, Chairperson, can you hear me? Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Okay, because I'm in and out and on mobile data, and this load shedding is really, I think, messing with all of us. So, Chairperson, good morning to everybody, and thank you for the presentation. Chairperson, I would just like the advocate that spoke about the time frames with regard to Section 1592B, and he said that there are time frames in Section 48. Now, I've just gone to the Principal Act, and I can't see where those time frames are. So if that then section can be flighted, Section 48, and if the advocate can then point out which time frames he's referring to, because then that would help me with Section 1592B. And then, Chairperson, perhaps we can ask also the ADG to comment as well, especially on the clauses that they say affect policy changes. Because I'm still unclear from the explanation given, and maybe the ADG can give us a practical example of these policy changes and how it's going to be affected. In the same way, you know, we gave examples, well, I gave examples in my submissions in order to make it more understandable in a practical sense, especially with this before and after child support grant top-up and the actual implications of that. And then just another one, Chairperson, section 150, I don't think we've given adequate deliberation to. And it's something I raised in one of our previous committee meetings, the term being used able and suitable. And, you know, my proposal was, you know, to remove a suitable and able and to just change it and is not in care of a family member. So again, I too would, you know, benefit from flighting the proposals and then working methodically through it that way. But yeah, those are just my three submissions for maybe the ADG to give us some examples on those policy affected clauses. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Alex. Honorable Sukens, followed by Honorable Stock.
Thank you, Chairperson. I firstly want to join the sentiment expressed with the tragedy that has happened in the Eastern Cape and extend our condolences to that region, the families and the friends, everyone affected by it, and especially to you, Chair. I know it's in your region and in your area. Chair, I want to support what was said earlier. As per my original request or my initial request, I want to second what was said by Honorable Van der Merwe, that the proposals just be flighted so that the committee be able to see what those are. And in doing so, we are deliberating, we are doing due process in terms of the deliberations. I have put together, and I don't know if I should bring it up now or when it's flighted, but one of the proposals had to do with the somewhat contentious section 21 clause 10. And I made a proposal, Chair, and I would like to motivate the reason for that. The concerns expressed by MPs with regarding to adopting the amendment to section 21 at this stage of the process, motivated a compromised approach for us to adopt only the new section 21A certificate process and not the amendments proposed to section 21. And the reasons for those, Chair, if I may, is in order, the why of that is so that the certificate process will help unmarried fathers who are caring for maternal orphans to obtain the proof they need when they approach Home Affairs to register the childbirth. And I must bring this up because I think one of the key things that we have found, especially when we were in the public hearings in Gauteng, was the issue around undocumented children and the reasons around that. So the certificate process will help. Will help unmarried fathers who are caring for maternal orphans to obtain the proof that they need when they approach Home Affairs to register the child's birth. And I think it would be helpful if the proposal is flighted so that members can see that. The child obviously needs a parent's assistance to obtain their IDs. And during the NHI hearings, for instance, we have 500,000 undocumented children. So this, I would appreciate it if we could, if they could please flight the proposal, which is a compromised approach that just basically deals with this. And the inserts that were recommended, the proposal contains recommendations that were from a number of children's rights NGOs. Maternal orphans and those who every day deal with the challenges faced by maternal orphans on the ground. So I think it would be really helpful for the meeting to see what that proposal is, Chair. And I want to also stress what was said by Honorable Masango, that all of us as a committee certainly are committed, I think, and I am committed to us concluding. But it always has to be with the understanding that we must apply our minds as a committee and for us to do the proper deliberation that will show that us as Parliament is doing our work. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Mark. Honorable Stock?
No, thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. And a very good morning to all of the honorable members, the officials, stakeholders, and everyone that is in the platform. Honorable Chairperson, I also like to join my colleagues and add a voice also on the tragedy that happened in the Eastern Cape, where a number of young people, the story of the tavern in the Eastern Cape, it's quite tragic, and we would like to send our condolences to the families and members of the bereaved family of those that are affected by this particular tragedy. Honorable Chairperson, as a point of departure, I think I just need to, of course, from a point of view that says, I need to preface my submission in the following manner as a point of departure. I think I get the sense that every time we come to a meeting, it looks like there are honorable members who wants to rehash some of the discussions that took place in the meeting, and then some of the meetings that as a portfolio committee, we might have actually taken some of those issues that were considered, and then certain decisions they were actually taking. And then I'm raising this, Honorable Chairperson, precisely because with regard to the issue of Section 21, I don't know how many times we've had discussions in the meeting, and then we have taken a decision a long time ago, starting from the meetings that we held physically in Cape Town, and a number of virtual meetings that we have taken around the issue of Section 21, that it needs a number of, a vigorous process of consultation, because it, we cannot only consider one view or one stakeholder, and then we are leaving out the views, the critical views of other stakeholders, including the issue of AmaKhosi and all of that. So the issue of whether it's an issue only of Section 21 with regard to the certificate and all of that, I think it deals in a nutshell for me with the Section 21 in a nutshell. So as a committee, maybe as a reminder to all of us honorable members in the meeting, as a way of reminding all of us, is that we have taken a decision long time ago to exclude also Section 21 as part of the sections or clauses that are technically rejected. In terms of the approach that we have adopted as a portfolio committee. And then we are of the view that the issues raised by, the issue of Section 21, it's a critical issue, as it has been raised by a number of stakeholders throughout our public hearings. Now, this clause will be considered as part of the Second Amendment Bill in the form of a committee bill. I think we have been very eloquent, we've been very clear, and then throughout the meetings, that's what we've been raising. Now, I also want to speak also about the issue of Section 24, as also as part of the reminder of the honorable members. Last week when we were in a meeting, the A-list was tabled to us. And then during the process of deliberation, where we're deliberating as honorable members, we only got stuck where we differed, and then we then agreed that because we are differing here, there are different views with regard to this particular issue. Can we please defer the A-list to the meeting of next week, which is today, so that all of us as honorable members in the portfolio committee meeting, we can actually apply our minds, and then we also get an opinion, a legal advice also from the parliamentary legal advice, as well as the department and the state law advice. It was with regard to Section 24. And then based on the presentation that was made here by Advocate Mjainan, I can see that Section 24 has actually been amended. Now, I don't think it's actually good for us now, some of our honorable members in the meeting now, only because we are allowed to send our proposals, our proposed amendments to the technical or the legal drafting team. For me, in terms of my own understanding, I don't think it's an automatic right of a member if you serve in a portfolio committee, or maybe let me speak about myself. If you are, I'm in a meeting now, we deliberate, and then we agree that different views coming from members in the meeting, then we are allowed to send our proposed amendments to the technical drafting team. I don't think that's an automatic right to all of us honorable members in terms of my own understanding, that if you have sent a proposed amendment to the drafting team, and then the drafting team considers the issue of policy imperatives with regard to the legislation that is before us, and then they look at a number of other issues, the court judgments and all of that, then they come back to us and make a submission, and then they actually advise us in the portfolio committee, no, we have considered all the proposed amendments. And this is the conclusion that we came to. Because this particular amendment is against the policy, we are not considering it. It will be considered, or it will be captured in the form of a minority report as a differing view. But for now, as part of the A list, we don't agree to include it. From where I'm sitting, honorable members, I feel that there are honorable members that feels in the meeting. If they send a proposed amendment, we must just take that proposed amendment and include it because they have sent it. And I'm totally opposed to that view because we need to convince each other, we need to persuade each other in the meeting. And then if we disagree, respectfully so, some of the views of those members who are strongly believing that their views are not captured, are not included, they can be captured or included in the form of a minority view. So I want to propose in the meeting, and I also want to thank our legal team. And I also want to agree with all the honorable members who are saying this has not been an easy task for all of us. We have been from pillar to post. We have went through a number of meetings, and then because it was also a technical, aspect of the bill that needs to be considered. So it was not an easy task for all of us. But be that as it may, the team that has been assisting us from the department, Advocate Mchoshisa, from the side of Parliament, Advocate Njengane, as well as our state law advisor, including the secretariat, who have actually been put together to do the background work and come to us. I would really want to appreciate for the type of work that we have done. I know it was not an easy task for all of you. We kept on saying, go back and look at this, come back, go back, you didn't do this. So I want to appreciate what you are bringing to us today. And I'm quite confident with what you have presented to us. I'm of the view that the A list that has been presented to us today, it represents the collective view of the committee in terms of its overall deliberations. And then it also represents, in a nutshell, the work that we have done as part of the amendments towards the implementation of the comprehensive legal solution in line with the Gauteng North High Court. And then I also want to, as I conclude, Honorable Chairperson, I also want to appreciate the fact that our committee secretariat came today and then started to just in advance issue an apology of what happened last week. And I want to appreciate also the fact that it's a human error. And when you are dealing also with a number of issues before you, it's normal that sometimes you can make a mistake. But I appreciate the fact that our committee secretary came and said it was unintentional. So I therefore apologize for what happened. And then for having said that, Honorable Chairperson, I would like to also join my colleagues in accepting the apology of our committee secretary, Ulindiwe, for what has actually transpired last week. So in so doing, Honorable Chairperson, I would like to formally now, as my last submission, move for the adoption of the A list and then all the different views that have not been captured, the amendments. I propose that they be considered and put into a a committee bill. All the clauses that we have rejected, they must be put into a committee bill, which will be considered through the portfolio committee through its own process. And then the honorable members that are differing their views, their amendments, they must be actually captured also in terms of the minority report. I thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Thank you very much. Thanks.
Okay, thank you very much. There was a hand of Polnit.
Chair, I also want to say to the families of the Eastern Cape where the children lost their lives of this weekend. Condolences, our heart goes out to those families because we are parents and we know what it's like when you lose a child in circumstances like that. So our condolences from our side also, Chair. I want to say that Honorable Fickers has addressed the issue that I was stressing about the fathers, because the fathers kept on writing to us and say that we have not included them in the whole thing, Chairperson. And then we also have the one thing that we are forgetting is that according to the Padlock Civil Society, as long as it's a CAB advocate for the change of Section 150A and 1A, to ensure the orphans in the care of relatives aren't automatically considered in the need of state care and protection, are rather assisted with an accessible grant and supportive service. They are saying the amendment, because we know that there's a backlog, and we know that the social workers are under stress because of this. We still have to look at that. What are we going to do with that, Chairperson? Equally, they are concerned about the omission of amendment of Section 24. Chair, I hear what Member Stock is saying, but we were asked to put submissions in. We did that, and we were supposed to look at the submissions, and for him to disregard the submissions that was given by the members here, it is not correct. We know there's a time frame, but it seems like you just want to bulldoze everything through because he needs to get over time. We want this thing to be discussed and to be a thorough work, because we cannot go back to the Children's Amendment Act again. And all the stakeholders that is involved in this thing must make sure that we are implementing a proper thing, because there's a lot of concerns out there about this Children's Amendment Bill. So we cannot just say that, you know, because you think you made a submission, now the submission must be added. It cannot be like that. We need to look at all the things, what is the best for the society out there, and not just what is the best for the committee. The committee, the portfolio committee, cannot go back and say, we are going to revive this thing again. So we need to look at everything that was done during the process when we went to from the different provinces, people that wrote in to us to say what is their concerns. We had to listen to all that. And by making as if the other people's things are not important, it is not correct. So I want to disagree with Honourable Stock in what he was just saying now. We have to look at this thing conclusively, because there's not going to be another Children's Amendment Bill after this. So we have to make sure that everyone is happy with this bill. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Can I be heard by honorable members and committee? Hello.
I'm here.
I think honorable Polnit has done now. Can I also recognize the other hand? Honorable Kate, Honorable Jane, and I see lots and lots of hands now. Others are repeating themselves. Can I first give those that haven't managed to speak, and then I will come back with the other ones. And then I'll definitely have to give a direction to the meeting. Can I give over, Honourable?
Thanks, Kate. Thank you so much, Honourable Chair. And good morning to colleagues.
Morning.
And firstly, I would like to join the other members. We're paying condolences to the Eastern Cape Province for the tragedy that happened in the early hours of Sunday. As women, as mothers, we feel very much bad about the incident. Our country has been robbed. May their souls rest in perfect peace. I also want to thank the Parliamentary Legal Advisors on the good work that has been presented before us today as an A-list. To me, the A-list was straightforward. I take it as a straightforward presentation. But Chairperson, I want to reflect on the, I don't know whether now is the line that we're going to take as the portfolio committee. Let me say that I'm now started to be frustrated to be part of this committee, because it's like, instead of doing what is expected to be done by us, we are like debating every day, or we are like pushing each other to say, I'll raise this. If it's this honorable member who said that, I'll just oppose. If this is the culture, Chairperson, hey, I'm like, I'm in the wrong portfolio committee altogether. I think on last week, Wednesday, our agreement was that there are some issues or some submissions that other honorable members want to put, which they were saying it's not there. And our agreement is that let them go back and write the submission, send it to the secretary or to the legal advisors. So for us today, my thinking was that the submission has been sent, is for us to check as to whether the submissions has been put in to the A list, to form part of the A list, and we continue like that. Because I don't think the submissions was touching all the A list that has been presented by the by our legal advisors. I take it today, if there's something that Kate or Honorable Bilankulu has submitted and there's an omission of that submission, Honorable Kate will just say, on this clause, this and that is not there. Therefore, can't we go there and do 1, 2, 3? To me, the issue of flagging everything, I take it as if it's one of the issues that want to derail us. And honorable members, I don't want us to beat around the bushes by saying, if one is saying, can't we adopt, it means one needs to rush, or one doesn't want to do what is expected of them. I think the interest of all of us here is to see this Children's Bill amendment being amended. The interest of us as the committee with this is of the child, not for us or not for our political parties. That's how I take it. Can't we try and come a little bit closer to each other and try to get the solution in order to adopt the A list at the end of the day? Lastly, Chairperson, I would like to propose that if we're not going to be in agreement in adopting the A list, please, let's put our meetings not on Wednesdays and not during the day, because we do have a lot to do. It's recess time. There are other issues that need to be attended to by us. And also, there is this issue ahead of us that also needs to be attended by us. So let's try and balance everything. I don't think it will assist us if today Kate see it, that I'm having something, then I'll come up and bring in something that will lead the portfolio committee not doing its work, but deferring the work in order to do something else outside. Then I'll come back the day I see it fitting that today I'm free. Please, Chairperson, if we're not going to do this today, let us not have this committee meeting during the day and on Wednesday. We do have something to do on Wednesdays. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Kate. Honorable Jay.
Thank you very much, Chair, and good morning to colleagues and officials. I must say, Kastwana, in Tswana, le rona re lale ba Eastern Cape, ba ba latlhegetsweng ke bana, and then ene se ka matla a bona, or ha se batsadi that makes their kids to go to that particular venue by that particular time. Everything got its own way. And then as I'm echoing what other members have said, just to put the parents of those particular students and the province at large in prayer. We must always pray for our kids and for ourselves, so that when something or the day will come, we will be prepared. So I'm just simply saying we are with them. Thank you, Chair. When I get to the gist of the day, I must really appreciate what the and I'm not and Gwazu, I can't pronounce Mkwenyani and Liz have done, including the department that Mchochisa. I have to really appreciate it, because when I look to the A list, I was part and parcel of those days that we deliberate. I've seen that really what we said is there on the A list. And then that we have said, this one must go that side, it will be a committee bill. I've seen them putting, except this one of 24, because it's what we were not agreeing to last time. We said, let's all of us check and get whatever advice, like others that get advice. We also, I also was informed about it. So really to be in the committee is working together. We can't see everything like the same. Others will see it like this, others like that. But at the end of the day, we need to come up with a solution. Solution doesn't rely on one person. We need to all focus on the bill. Mina, I'm happy to be on this stage, because the previous, the fifth parliament, I think they brought us where we are today with this bill and with this court orders and so forth. So we must not behave as if we are rushing, all of us. We are not rushing, because I think we have spent a lot of time deliberating. Those who feel they want to put whatever, they were given a space to kill, a time to say, send whatever. And then by sending whatever proposal that you, other members were having, that's why this section, this one, 24 is there, is the one that were put during our deliberation last meeting, where we have adjourned the meeting because of some difficulties that were not under our control. So I'm saying this section 21, I still remember well, when we deliberate, I also said this section 21, it affects me because I've got the boys, I don't have girls, But because of the deliberation that we have during our meetings, our public hearing, we get to the issue where the AMACOS Ingos saying don't brush everything in the Western whatever. You must also hear what we are saying as the community. Like Fathers for Justice, we had them. Like those people who are still believing in culture, we have had them. That's why we said this issue, we must give it time, as it should fall under the committee bill, whereby we'll be able to balance the issues, where we'll be able to hear Fathers and where we will have to hear the ones that are for culture. We've got different culture and what in this country of us. So everybody needs to be given the hearing. I don't think this bill, we are saying we put it in a dustbin. I'm still repeating that. Let's put it abeyance and deliberate it when times come of the committee bill. I think all of us, we do have interest in all the bills that we have put abeyance. But we were saying, let's deal with the one that we need to deal with as we have deliberated. If Lindwe have covered whatever that I wanted to say, if there's something that we don't see it in a correct manner, I'm sorry for this. We will be able to deal with it when we come to the report. Mina, I'm fully appreciating this work up to this level, what we have done. I appreciate it because everybody was putting his or her time to come and deliberate, to make sure that this interest that we are having in our children, it should see a day at the end of the day. And then this, I so wish that today we need to finish. If we don't finish, it means the meeting. We must have it during the day, whether Saturday, as we all have the oomph to say we wanted to see it being dealt with. We need to focus. We mustn't put Wednesday all the time. Some of us, we are staying in the rural. We are struggling. I'm struggling with the network. That's why I'm outside. That's why you hear this noise. I'm outside because I don't have network at all. But this network doesn't make me not to be in the meeting. That's why I'm saying if we can't finish, let's help our meeting sometimes on Saturday, where somebody will go to the municipality and sit there so that it must have that network. So I appreciate, and then I'm appealing to the members, if they feel their issue are not there, they should have said, it's just I get late into the meeting. They should said, Honorable Van der Merwe, I heard her when she was speaking and say, in this 24, I feel this is how we should phrase it. So I do appreciate everyone in this meeting, in this committee, is very much important. Alone we can't do it, but together, when all of us, we are in for this bill, it can take us forward. It can make sure that when we deal with things together, that things happen. So I wish today all of us a good luck to can deal with whatever is remaining. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Jane. Honorable Bongo.
Thank you very much, Chair. And greetings to honorable members and the legal advisors. Chair, I'll honestly be wasting time. Honorable Manganyi has really covered me. I wanted yourself, Chair, to clarify myself as to how they would do things. Because if I remember correctly, the reason submissions had to be referred to the legal team was for them to advise us, and which today they came in and advised us based on the submissions that were submitted. And again, we go back and say, let those submissions come again to the committee for deliberations, whilst the legal team have advised us. So I think as Chair, I'd want you to balance me there, Chair. And also, Chair, I think as chair of the committee, we've dealt with Section 21, and the portfolio committee has taken a decision on that it would form part on the committee bill. But we come again in portfolio committee meetings where we should be deliberating on the A list. We come again every time and mention Section 21 and delay ourselves, whereas the committee has taken decisions in meetings before on the matter of Section 21. So on bringing it back to every committee meetings, it really delays us, Chair. As I said, that Mam Manganyi has covered me on a number of issues, including Mam Kate. So I think, Chair, as the chair of the committee, you should direct us correctly as a committee, because we would come next week and Honorable Hlongo feels that a section that is on the rejected list should now come back on the A list. And again, we go and deliberate that. Once we take decisions as a portfolio committee, can we speak to those decisions as a portfolio committee, Chair? I thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mhlongo. There is a hand of Honorable Masango in Sugers. Then I have to come in after them.
Thank you, Chair.
And Masango.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you so much for the opportunity again. I just wanted to find out, whilst during the presentation by the advocate Jenwane, he said at some stage he would be indebted to hear our comments on the presentation that he made, and when those comments are made, it is made, from what I have understood, I mean, I could be totally wrong. When those comments are made and proposals are made, it is made to sound like some of us are being obstructive to the process. I believe that all we asked for was deliberations, and deliberations involve flighting proposals on the screen, and we are led to deliberate on them. The amount of time that we have taken just now would have been the time that we would be taking flighting there. And I need to be advised also by the chair and the parliamentary advisors whether it is against the rules of parliament and the law to actually deliberate, to flight things and deliberate them and agree to disagree and put the bill, the A list, before the committee and approve it or not approve it. I don't know why this thing is looked at so negatively when all we are saying is we sent the proposals, please flight them, and so that the rest of the committee to whom it was not sent can see it, and then we deliberate. I am so concerned about the adversarial way that this whole thing is being taken now. We didn't come here to have the presentation made and then adopt. We came here for the presentation to be made, and the agenda says, and consideration. And I believe what we are asking for is consideration by deliberating, so that we can all go home and say, it was presented, the presentation was made, proposals were considered, and deliberations ensued, and then we didn't agree. And so let's go home, because now the A list has been dealt with by the committee. I am of the opinion and the view that the drafters are not the committee. The drafters are there to hear what the committee says, and they go away, they draft, they come back to the committee, the people who must deliberate on this thing, not the drafters. And I am literally misunderstanding the whole idea of why are we doing what we're doing. We are doing what the rules of parliament are saying we must do, deliberate on the bill and agree or don't agree and adopt the A list and go on. I am really concerned that we there's just now some division, like there are those who say this and there are those who say that. The committee that I know has not been like this up until now, and I plead with you, Chair, to just even if you just say to me that no, Honourable Masango, we are not supposed to flight the proposal because of this reason, or refer me to some rule that says that we cannot do that, and I would understand. We will close the meeting. I really am pleading with you to take us on board here, so that we know exactly what it is that needs to happen and what exactly what it is that does not need to happen as the bill is before us. This is the last chance we have for this bill to be before us, and then it goes to the next level of processing. Thank you so much, Chair.
Shall I proceed, Chair? May I?
Yes, you can proceed.
Yeah, Jay, I actually think that we are misunderstanding one another. Let's deal with it from a communication perspective first. Because I think in what Honorable Masango, Honorable Bilankulu has said, Honorable Jane has said, part of what they have said actually aligns with what has been requested, which is that we deliberate. I want to refer the meeting back to Wednesday, when the state law advisor said to us that this is a working document, and it is upon that the deliberations ensued. I also want to say, I certainly very clearly on Friday said, let us reset the meeting. By resetting meaning, let us gain momentum in order to get to deliberate on the issues that is before us. Section 21 is problematic, but certainly let Section 21 not bring an anxiety now to members that it is to push that on the committee. It is not. The reason why we have referred the meeting back to today on Wednesday was in order that the deliberations be honored and respected that was done on Wednesday. And then it was said that those proposals by members be forwarded to the legal advisor, not for them to approve it, because certainly it is not their responsibility or their, the committee, they are not supposed to then decide what goes in and out. The process that we are engaging with today is exactly what the members are actually saying. But it seems that we are still in opposing positions, and it is because of obviously the issues that came before Wednesday. We are on a reset here. I am pleading really now to say that we are on a reset. We all have the opportunity as a committee to see what is being proposed and then to say no. The committee, and that's for to go into the minority report. This is the process of deliberation as been guided by the state law advisor last week, Wednesday. It is, however, very concerning that it is the message that I am receiving, listening to what was said, is that no, we must just rubber stamp whatever is in front of us. I would caution that we must be very careful to not bring that into a committee meeting of parliament, because it raises very serious concerns. And in the last 5 years, certainly, we have seen what it has caused in our country. So let us be very considerate of one another. I am not putting on this meeting anything that it must adopt what is being said, or even adversarial, other than that the process that we engage in has been what we agreed on Wednesday. Firstly, it's a working document. Secondly, that we send the proposals, we've done so. Those proposals now need to be considered by this committee. It is not for the legal advisors to decide for us what it is that must go into the document. And I want to point out section 150, section 150 and 159, that has not been discussed or deliberated on. The committee has never deliberated on section 150 or section 159. We only got up to section 24 last week. Thank you, Chair. And I'm really wanting to caution members, let us not miss, we are misunderstanding then one another if we are seeing it as adversarial. But I think Honorable Bridget Msangu has asked certain questions. It should be answered. And I want to say that we must please, members, understand one another and honor the process that is before us. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Sukes. Honorable members, I've tried to accommodate everyone whose hand was up. And I first remind the members that Lindy Way, from the onset, outlined the process, which I would like to repeat it, in terms of seeing that the meeting again is going backward and forward. She said, all those clauses that the committee hasn't been agreed upon will also appear. And even the committee report will also highlight those clauses. Two, it's a working document, as Honorable Sugar said. It's words of state law advisor's office, Lisa. We all agreed on that. That's why today we are doing this work. But I just want to say, Honorable Members, we are going backward and forward. Reason for that, we have to say we agree, we don't disagree, or we don't agree on something else that has been proposed. One, let me remind the committee that even, I can't remember the dates, whether it was the 25th, where we said section 21 clause 10, we have agreed that we have put that clause 10 in abeyance, we will come with it. We are going back and forth because we have discussed on that one. We disagree, the others agree. It's fine, it's going to be noted as such. But we are saying we're not throwing that away. We even put the time frames of finalizing this within 3 months. We requested those that will be able to do the administration work to do it. Clause 24. The only thing that the committee didn't agree on is that one of inserting or including the children's court and all the stuff. And then today, Honorable Lizelle added the two to the applicant instead of whatever that was, which is not a crazy match. Then we agreed upon. So 24 and 21 were done with it. Then there comes a proposal that is saying, why can't we flight those submissions or proposals from the members? I still want to know, whom are we flighting those proposals for? Because those proposals are in front of us because we have been given this submissions and all that list. But nevertheless, it's not a train smash, it's just dragging the time. Other will get in and out, like Alex has explained, and also Mr. Mzunyane to talk about the load shedding. Then from Marie just now, it's 150 and 159. That is not agreed upon. Can we then request again the drafters or whoever flight those so that we reach to that state where we say reject, disagree, agree on that one? But what is strange to me, honorable members, is today by day adding new things that you didn't even talk about prior meetings. That really frustrates me in that. Can we then, or also Section 60 that talks with offense, which I am not sure, because in my thinking, the department has explained what is that mean. What does that mean? Honorable members, it's not, again, a transmission. Now we want the AG, as Alex has proposed, to come up with the policies or the conflict between the policies and all that stuff. Remember, honorable members, we requested these test people, the drafters, the advocates or the advisors, to assist us in correlating these two things, the policies and all the stuff. And when they come up today, we are saying they are not decision makers. Yes, they know them. They know themselves that they are not. They know exactly that the ultimate end must also come to the committee members, which we are doing exactly that. Can I again, last and least, come to parliamentary advisor to come up with this thing of 159 and 150. Remember, there is a chart that is here in our gadget. Honorable Alex is also raising this thing of the expiry period, which was explained by Advocate Chochisa. We will again request Advocate Chochisa to come again with that explanation. We even said there are administration things and implementation things, which we separated those because we could see that this thing of shortages of social worker is not going to be dealing with the
foster care amendment bill for now, but it's something that we have to deal with it so as to avoid the delay and the backlog that the department is encountering. And they are promising in front of us that they will deal with that. Now we want the acting director to again come up and explain this. Fine, let's do that. Let's get to the parliamentary advisor and also get to the acting director general on those three things so as to agree upon whether we disagree. Because even those that we disagree will come up with a report, even the submission or proposal from honorable members will be flagged or will be highlighted, but they will be put in a report. It's not that they are going to be thrown into a dustbin and they are not recognized or not known. You know, Paul Mitch said something that fathers of justice are writing to them timelessly and time again. It also frustrates me when to hear about that, because also we said we need not to be pushed by any stakeholder, but to put our minds on this. And I know for a fact it goes back to that section 21, which is clause 10, which we are saying we have put it on the abeyance, not that we have thrown it there in a dustbin. We can't be wasting time going around for public hearings. At the end of the day, we don't think about those and put our minds as honorable members on what we want to see. Can I give over the last chance to the parliamentary advice to get into this 159 and 150, I think.
Thank you, Chairperson. This is Nati, the parliamentary legal advisor. Chair, the issue of 159, which is clause 86, the amendment of section 159, is an issue of the time frame that is addressed in advocating purchaser's document that he presented. And the amendment to 150, we have effected a change. It appears in the presentation. So I don't know if it captures what you had wanted me to address, Chair. But as I was saying, the issue of the time frame, which has been discussed in the meeting now, is the one that is reflected on advocating Churchill's document on the policy implication. Thank you.
Let's give advocating Churchill on this thing of time frames and all this stuff.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Lindy, can you
ask? The three period and the 6 months that you have made mention in terms of Section 48, according to what you have said.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. Lindy, can you give me some rights to flight the act here?
I did.
Please do that.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Uh-oh.
Are you still coming, Advocate?
Yes, I am, Honorable Chair. I'm just battling to find this act now. Did you perhaps have the act on your side to flight it for me?
As I'm the documents, but you can flight it. We do have all the documents. They are in front of us because we are dealing with them. But you please flight.
Chair Chairperson.
Hello. Hello, Mete.
Ubabum Chochis, Utella, Secretary, I fly because I think he's having some challenges.
Yes. I think they are talking amongst themselves. Thanks, Mete. The connection is really a challenge today. I also wish to thank that at least you have managed to come to this far. Thanks, Mche. Lindy, assist by flighting all what needs to be flighted.
I, Chair, I don't have the principal act. I'm also looking in my files. You only don't have the principal act?
I have it, Joseph. You can give me the right, hopefully the right one. I'm forgetting to tell you, it does indicate if not. Can you give me the rest of the flight?
I did.
Amanda.
Okay, thanks, Yoli. Can you go to section 48?
Okay. This one?
Yes, that one. Thanks, Yoli. Good day once again, Honorable Members. I think the question that is being asked by Honorable Abrahams is around Section 48 and the time frame we are referring to as the department. If we read Section 48, more especially B, well, that is 1B, it reads as a children's court may, in addition to the orders it is empowered to make in terms of this act, extend, withdraw, suspend, vary, or monitor any of its orders. And in order to understand what this means, we need to apply what we call a people's approach to interpretation. Because when you look at this, it does not tell the magistrates how much time must they extend for or vary the orders. And so in order to understand the 6 months period as to where it comes from, we need to read Section 488 together with Section 159. Can you please go to 159 for me, Yoli?
Okay, on the same act, ne?
Yes, on the same act, yes. Okay. Same act, 159.
All right. Can you see it?
Yes, that one. Thanks, Yoli. So I'm trying to indicate that it is not advisable to read just one provision of the act because there is interrelatedness in the provisions of a legislation. That is how legislation is crafted. When you read Section 159, it indicates that an order made by a children's court in terms of Section 156 lapses on expiry of, and then it reads 2 years from the date or such shorter period for which the order was made. And if you, when you read B, where my emphasis is, may extend as may be extended by a children's court for a period of not more than 2 years at a time. And now this is talking to all the orders that have been made in terms of that is the power that has been given to the magistrates, if you read this. And this has to be understood in that context. And it does indicate that it should not be extended for a period of more than 2 years, because in any event, the original order was for a period of 2 years. So anything from 1 month to 23 months will be less than 2 years. And 6 months falls within that category. And this is how the magistrates have implemented this provision, by extending the court orders that have lapsed, which they have got powers to make, and extended them for a period of 2 years. For a period of 6 months. So the 6 months, you'll see that in section 48, the 6 months period is not being mentioned, or the period at all has not been mentioned. But in this particular provision, it says may be extended by a children's court for a period of not more than 2 years, meaning that in this particular instance, any period that is less than 2 years can be decided upon by the magistrate. That is how they have interpreted this in the past. So that is where the 6 months period comes in. And that is why we are rejecting the period of 3 years, because we are saying, if you read 159 together with any other provision of the Act, 48, in section 48 in particular, then it will not be talking to the two-year period that is being referred to here. And if we were to go for a period of 3 years, it would have meant that we should have also taken into account the amendment of section 48, that is taken that into consideration. With regard to the second point around the interrelationship between the child, the foster care grant, and also the amendment that has been made to the Social Assistance Act, there is already what is happening. There is already an implementation of the payment of the top-up grant to children who are orphanaged. If the child has got both death certificates, then the child does get the grant. If the child has got only one death certificate, then an affidavit is required the other parent is nowhere to be found or something like that. Because this provision that talks about paternal and maternal orphanage, which we are introducing in this particular draft, is not yet the law. So the child support, the grant top-up is already being paid. So the policy that Honorable Abrahams is referring to as to how does this work and where is the policy and all that, the child protection policy is already in existence in the department. That is why now we are bringing in the provisions of the child protection policy into this legislation by amending the section 160 by inserting C capital A in 160, so as to speak about issues of investigation, assessment, and screening and all that. And the investigation we are referring to is the one that I've just referred to, just to check if the child is indeed an orphan by the production of the death certificate. Yes, that will be realized. So the policy is already in existence in the department. It was approved by cabinet, I believe. It is already there. So it's not going to be a new policy that is going to be developed. And with regard to the payment of the top-up grant, it is already happening. So the provisions here are not going to be delaying anything. I think I must pause there for now, Honorable Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Advocate Tuchis. Can you, who's going to do that? Oh, Jenani, can you flight? I don't know, because flighting is seem to be a problem. Flight the submission or proposals to this clause only.
Thank you, Chairperson. My colleague Lindy has the submissions ready and she's going to slide them for us. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. The first proposal is from Member Abrahams. Chair, you want the person to reach, the member to reach her submission and put forward to the committee. How do you want the approach of dealing with the proposals?
According to what they requested, they just said it needs to be reflected so that we can see. It's just that it is not flighted. In fact, it is not highlighted, but it has been flighted. The first one is?
Chair, it's from Member Abrams. Maybe she can talk to it. Member Abrams, Chair.
Where is she?
I'm here, Chair. I can proceed if you're ready for me.
Yes. Proceed.
Okay. Okay. Clause 10 we can move past. Section 24 we can also move past. So we can go on to the second page. So this is now obviously the section 150. And as I said in the chat box, so the family member part has been accepted. But, you know, and I heard the advocate explaining now again, but we are going to, I don't know, I still don't understand how the one act can say before screening, yet our regulations say after screening for the child support grant top-up, because it contradicts each other. So, yes, I'm still confused about that. How can the act and the regulations then contradict itself? Yet the advocate says it will have no effect. So that was still as a question mark for me. And then if we can move to page 3, Lindy. That we've spoken through. And so I've just given more examples on before and after in terms of 150. But also, Chairperson, you know, 150, and let me just find where I said suitable and able, because page 4 also speaks about the before and after. And like I said, you know, it just doesn't make sense to me how the Act and the regulations can contradict each other and it will still be processed without interruption. So if I can just focus on, where I said 150. Yes, let me just get there. The comment I made in the chat box, Chairperson. Sorry, I'm just...
Are you done? Are you done, Alex?
No, I don't think so, Chen. She was...
I think she's been kicked out by the...
Okay.
I think she can be kicked out by the...
Chen, can you hear me now? Sorry. I'm back. Okay.
You.
So, sorry about that.
You
Chair.
Are saying before and after.
Yes.
And
so
also the, on 150, you were talking about able and
suitable. Yes, because it is covered
you
already.
You are requesting you are requesting that rather than use able, okay, rather than use suitable, one of the two must be inserted. Huh?
No, Chairperson, that it actually be removed and it's written in not care of a family, not in the care of a family member, as I wrote in the chat box. And then just lastly, on 159, I've heard what the advocate said, but once again, and this is why maybe, you know, we're talking about the communication or understanding challenge, and that's why, you know, I asked maybe if the ADG can try and explain from a more practical sense, because I'm not asking to change the 6 month period, and that's not what I'm asking. I'm asking that the proposal for 3 years is about making it a transitional clause relating to the foster care crisis only, and not making it permanent in order to help the foster care crisis. Because in our previous, committee meetings, Advocate Liz Nider also referred me to the, and if you go to page 6, Lindy, referred me to the Social Assistance Act. And I quoted the Social Assistance Act on page 6, where it speaks to a foster grant, child grant lapses. And again, in that Social Assistance Act, there's no provision that speaks to the lapsing of grants and how the children are going to be protected. So that is also why I asked Chairperson for my comments to be responded to in writing, because I'm just not understanding it the way the advocate's explaining it.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. What was the other one? Because I see that... there was also the other submission or proposal. Is there any contrary to these ones, Lindy? Because when I had them, they were seconding one another in terms of the 159 and 150 that has been already explained. Is that
Chair, this one is from Member Masango. We have two to go, Member Fandamareva and Member Sukers.
Which one? The 21, section 21?
Chair, this is it's a submission from Member Masango. Maybe she can take the committee through her submission. And then the two remaining one is from Member Fandamareva and Member Sukers.
Go on, Honorable Masango, but please exclude 21 and 24. We're done with them. Proceed with other ones that are not the same with that. Honorable Masango.
Thank you, Chair. I agree with you. So I will, in fact, my proposals were about 21 and 24, and then the next one was, can we please just go down a bit actually, Chair, between my submissions and Member Abraham's ones, I think I am covered as I look at it now.
That's why I was we look at those that are not already highlighted. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair.
Let's move to the other one. I think we're coming closer to one understanding. Lizelle?
Yes, Chair. I'm actually also covered because, as you said, we've dealt with those two clauses. The only remaining one was 150 and 159. And we've been covered by, I've been covered by Honourable Abrams's arguments. So as Honourable Masango, I'm also covered. Thank you, Chair.
Surely then. Honourable, who else? The last one, Lindy, so that we can again give a parliamentary advisor on this.
Honourable Sukers, Chair.
Okay. Can you fly to them? Because I'm able also to assist in terms of this one has been already dealt with. We are left with this one. I know for a fact that one of the other clauses was section 21, that is clause 10 from Honorable Sukers. And then just that I don't see them highlighted now, but it's fine. Let's wait for you.
Okay, Chair. Sure. Sukers. Okay, Chair. I'll be with you right now. Okay.
Fine.
Where is my document? Okay, Chair, just 1 minute. I don't know because I've just closed. Okay, I'll start with 150, Chair. There are two proposals in different documents. This is the first one. Maybe Member Sokas can take us through, the committee through.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to read because I know many members maybe not be able to see it. So this section is the gateway to foster care, Chair, and I'm going to read it so that every member understands what it is, why the amendment. It should be amended to reflect the DSD's new policy that the majority of orphans in the care of family members are not in need of statutory care and protection, and therefore do not need to go through the foster care system. DSD's National Child Care and Protection Policy of 2019 reads as follows, which was approved by Cabinet in 2019. It says a child in need of care and protection is a child who is deprived of care as defined in this policy, who is at risk of such deprivation or who requires protection from violence, abuse, harm, neglect, or exploitation. So the following children are recognized as being in need of care and protection, noting that such children are not limited to those listed here. I will leave that out. So it says a child has been abandoned or orphaned and is not in the care of a family member, as is defined in this policy, that lives or works on the streets or begs for a living, displays behavior that cannot be controlled by a parent or a caregiver, is addicted to dependence, producing substances, and is without support to obtain treatment, has been exploited or lives in circumstances that expose him or her to exploitation, lives in or is exposed to circumstances that could seriously harm his or her physical, mental, or social well-being, may be at risk if returned to a parent or caregiver, as there is reason to believe he or she will live in or be exposed to circumstances that could seriously harm his or her physical, mental, or social well-being, is in a state of physical or mental neglect, is being maltreated, abused, deliberately neglected, and exploited by a parent, a caregiver, a person who has parental responsibilities and rights, a family member of the child, or a person in whose care the child is an unaccompanied migrant child from another country, or is a victim of trafficking, has been sold by any person, a parent, caregiver, or guardian. So the wording in the table should mirror the wording that was finally decided on for the policy after many years of consultation. That is the proposal, Chair. However, with regards to the amendment being proposed in the table of Section 151A, it is not the case. The table bill currently reads that a child is in need of care and protection if the child has been abandoned or orphaned and has no parent, guardian, family member, or caregiver who is able and suitable to care for such a child. So the proposal is, Chair, to replace the words parent, guardian, family member, or caregiver with a single term family member. Family member is already defined in Act Section 1 to include the other parent, any other parent who has parental responsibility in respect of the child. So there is no need for the wording in the table bill to specifically say has no parent, guardian, family member, or caregiver. The inclusive and already defined concept family member should rather be used in the bill. Then the second proposal, Chair, is to replace the word "has no family member who is able and suitable to care for that child" with "is not in the care of a family member." So it is important for the Act to be clear that orphan children who are already in the care of a family member, and this is important for us as the committee to consider, are not considered in need of statutory care and protection or in need of foster care. So and the example that was included here is an orphan who's been living with their granny, say, for the last 10 years. They should rather be referred to SASSA to obtain an SCG. I think Honorable Alexander actually labored this point before. I'm not sure, but if I can remember that. So what we are asking So the DSD's own child care and protection policy recognizes the principles of attachment theory and therefore uses the phrase orphan or abandoned and not in, in care of a family member. So these are the words that the bill should also use. It would match the DSD's own policy and it would be in keeping with the public submission that has been made by child rights organizations and child welfare. So for the committee to consider that. I specifically went over, Chair, so that the committee could hear what the motivation behind it is. And if we look at that, that we consider thus the amendment. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, it's a sort of a repetition in terms of the one that has been highlighted also by Alex, but thank you very much for elaborating more on it. Can we once more request the parliamentary advisor to get into this? There's this thing that is Alex is saying, it confuses her.
This is not the parliamentary legal advisor. The responses to Honorable Alex's submissions has been presented by the department as responses at Advocating for Chisa. And Honorable Alex's response to the presentation was that she would like to hear what the Acting Director General has to say about the implementation of the issues that the department had pronounced on, which are policy implication issues. Chair, what the committee has in front of it now are the proposals from members and the responses from the department. And I suppose the input that is yet to come from the Acting Director General. From a drafting perspective, Chair, as soon as we can get the agreement from the deliberations of members about the inclusion or non-inclusion of the proposals, we would then be able to craft a proposal for members in terms of legislation drafting so that would be considered by the committee. But what we currently have now is the input of the department because of the related policy implications. We have the input of the department on the proposals by members, and therefore, Chairperson, as I say, as a drafter, I would then be able to take instructions from the deliberations of members and then go and craft a clause if that is the instruction of members. Thank you, Chair.
You know, I thank you very much for that explanation, because where is the acting director? Is he with us?
I'm sorry, Chairperson. This is Kobuna.
ADG
has stepped off. He's just joined another meeting.
And you can come back. Can you then assist Ms. Ndab?
May I ask Luyanda to assist us?
With your permission, Chair, as the DDG has made reference to me. What Honorable Sukar has presented is quite correct. However, it must be understood that we have amended Section 160 to include C capital A as a drafting mechanism that we have opted for vis-a-vis the amendment of Section 150 itself, because what is required there is to have a regulation so that we can spell out all these issues as to how is this going to happen and in what fashion and in what form. So I understand the concern from my side, as has been indicated. It is quite correct, but the manner in which that has to be taken care of is the issue of the regulations. And yes, when the issue of before and after, the scenarios are different. There are scenarios that are very automatic, where a child is in need of care and protection, but there are issues where these matters have to be investigated. Hence, Section 160C, capital A, the proposal to the amendment thereof is going to be able to spell out as to how will that unfold in the long run. So it is quite acceptable, but we have opted to amend Section 160 instead of Section 150. You will see in the matrix that the input Honorable Sukar is referring to indeed is an input that we have accepted and agreed to take care of as contemplated in Section 160 and Section 159, 150 and 159. And all these issues about being in need of care and protection have come up strongly from the members, and they have been taken care of in the regulations. Yes, the regulations, as we indicated earlier, that ordinarily regulations as a subordinate legislation will or can only be developed once the president assents to and signs this bill into law. But because of the time constraints that we are working within in relation to the court order, we have been developing draft regulations just to be one step behind this development, that is the development of this bill, so that once the president signs and assents this bill into law, we don't have to waste much time trying to develop regulations. We are just one step behind this. We can just spend a month after that to finalize the draft that we have. The rationale for that is that we cannot have finalized regulations before the final bill, because the regulations themselves are taking the cue from the provisions of this bill. Once we agree first on the provisions of this bill and we have a final version, say for an example, a final version of Section 150 as amended or 159 as amended, then we will know that this is what 150 is saying, this is what 159 is saying. Then we can quickly make regulations to that. Otherwise, we do have a draft that is following behind these. Thanks, Honorable Chair and members.
Thank you for advocating for that explanation. You have explained it, even myself. I happen to understand Section 160. CA capital A instead of 150 and 159, and you are saying these ones have been also passed because it hasn't been finalized. It's still to come, but due to this thing that now we are focusing on this. Thank you very much. I've tried to give everybody an opportunity in terms of this thing. Prior to these deliberations and flighting issues, there was a proposal from, I think, Honorable De Frank
on saying that let's adopt this A list. There is still B list that is coming to us and which we have also to consider it. Can I then get a seconder from this thing? So I have forgotten to again emphasize that all your deliberations and all your discussions, all your proposals will also reflect as they are in these reports that will come, as the secretary has alluded and explained to us. Marie, is your hand the old one or is it the new one?
Chair, yes, it's a new hand, Chair. I just wanted to make a note for the question.
Okay. Note?
The notice
carry on.
The proposal for Section 160 was not requested by the committee. It was, that is my note. And I also would have wanted to ask a question, and I think if it is, if you would allow, that why, as I've mentioned in my motivation, this is the DSD's own policy. So why does the bill contradict the DSD's own policy? Why is it not aligned to them? And why make Section 151 not make it the same as the policy? Because Section
115, and are you talking about Section 160, CA1, instead of 150 and 159?
I am referring to the reply as was made by Advocate Mchochisa. To say that the proposal for 160 was not requested by the committee. So that's the one thing. And then I've said, then my question was, in terms of the proposal that was made, why does the bill contradict DSD's own policy? Why is it not aligned to them? And once 151A is not clearly aligned with the policy regulations, then it can't be fixed.
Okay. Okay, lastly, Honorable or Advocate Mchochisa, lastly, then I have requested a person who will second Honorable Dehan. Can you again come to this 160?
If I'm clear.
Yes.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, and thanks, Honorable Sukas. Yes, Section 160C, capital A, was not suggested by the committee, but it is a consequential drafting outcome, because having looked at the proposals or the proposals of the stakeholders with regard to Section 150 and 159, the understanding was that the issues that are being raised more there that talk to investigation, assessment, screening and all that, they fit more into regulations because they are procedural in nature. They will not have Section 150 talking about those issues and Section 159 talking about the same issues. So the drafting team decided that it should be a new insertion in Section 150, because of the proposals that were made to 150 and 159 in the same context as the inclusion of the definition of social service practitioner. You will see that the definition of the social service practitioner was not there initially, but because of the comments that we received from the committee and the reading of the entire clauses that we have submitted as a department, we felt that, yes, there is a point there. We can still include that particular definition of social service practitioner in the same context as we included the definition of an orphan, looking at the issues that are being addressed. So it's something that is normal from the legislative drafting point of view. It's a consequential amendment. And then now the issue of contradiction, we do not see it as a contradiction, but if it is a contradiction, then there will be an amendment which will harmonize it with the policy. and it will be easier for us to amend the policy to stick to what we are proposing here now, rather than to amend this piece of legislation, because for the proposal that we have beforehand fits perfectly to what we want to achieve at the end of the day. Because some of these things get to be overtaken by events in the sense that when in 2009 the policy was approved by cabinet, it was almost 13 years ago. It was before we dealt with this particular bill. So some of the things they have been overtaken by events, and then we need to realign at the end of the day. Otherwise, we'll take that into account. But for now, we submit that what we have provided the committee with is what would be comfortable for the department to be able to move forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Advocate Mr. Chisa. Can I check Honorable who's that? Honorable Mshongo? Honorable Mangani and Honorable
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, I want to second the proposal of Honorable Stock. As you mentioned, that he has proposed the adoption of the A-list. So I want to second that proposal, Chair. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Nkrongo. Honorable Jay? A-list has been seconded.
I was seconding with everything.
Thank you. Okay.
I was also seconding, Chair.
Okay, Honorable Anastasia, welcome. Honorable Alex?
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. And I've noted that it's been approved and seconded already. But I didn't clearly hear your response to the parliamentary legal advisor's question, where you said, must you go back and make the amendments and then come back to the committee? So I just want to hear, what was your ruling on that? Is he not going to make any further amendments? I just never heard what your response to the parliamentary legal advisor was. If he's going to go make any changes as suggested, or is your resolution that he's not making any changes? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Alex. I have even said that Lindiwe has outlined the process of going towards the Act. That B list is still coming, but with these ones, all advocates have explained it. It is a pity that the acting DG is not with us, but the department from the side of the departmental advisor or legal advisor has already outlined it. And I even said that all your proposals that have come through and you feel that it is not what you want will be reflected. And all the proposals that have come to whoever honorable member will also be reflected on that. I have answered it by saying so. B list is coming and we have to deal with it, and then we have to come to on how the processes will have to be followed. Thank you, Alex. Thank you very much. I don't see a hand with this one. Honorable, yes. Oh, it's an old hand. The next item, Lindy. Mind, honorable members, I will lose the network at 1 o'clock. I've indicated that. So I might not be able to chair the meeting up. Lindy?
Isn't there done?
Honorable Chair?
Yeah. Who's that?
No, my apologies, Chair. It's Linton.
Okay, it's fine. Thank you very much for coming back. But at least we are done with that one. Then we are on the next item. Are you with us on the next item?
Yes, Yes, I'm with you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Carry on. Carry on, AD.
Oh, sorry. My apologies, Chair. I had come back because I was in a meeting with the Minister. I had come back to respond to the issues around the CSG, but seemingly I think we've passed that one now. The top-up, the CSG.
Acting DG, the A-list has been adopted by Dehang, and Honorable Hlongo seconded. Now there is a second item that will also deal with you because you requested us to deal with that item. I'm checking with me. What is that item saying? Lindy?
The second item in today's agenda is to consider to look at the B list.
Oh.
Yes, Chair.
Today. Okay.
The committee wants to look at it, or if they want to defer it to another meeting with the report, it's up to the decision of the committee on how, if they want to proceed it.
Remember, Lindy, we said we don't want meetings to continue again. This is a recess period, and also then we have been cautioned by the AD that at least we are behind schedule right now. And people that are in villages, it's not easy for them to have their evening meetings like myself. I can't be standing outside or parking outside in the evening. So it was requested that let's finalize that. It's just that I've overlooked what you are saying, that the B list has been to look at. And what is the procedure and process of that one, of the list, as you have indicated before? Lindy?
Chair, there are two things we need to conclude as we so that we know we have 100% passed this legislation. The committee needs to look at the B list to check what they agree on the A list is reflected in the B version. The B version is the bill that will be adopted by the House. So there must be an agreement for members to say what is in the B version is what we agree on. And then the last phase of this process is for the committee to adopt a report that will be scheduled for a second reading in the House. And then it will be passed by the House so that it can allow the NCOP to start their legislative process. So we are left with those two items for discussion before we can say we are done with this piece of legislation.
Okay. Can I see the hands of the honorable members on this one? The B list thing. Am I still audible?
You are, Chair.
Okay. I think it's the old hand, the one of Mark Lizard, and then yes,
Doc. No, Chairperson, thank you very much. As far as I understood the work that we did today, we made still, as we had said previously, it was a working document, and we had made still small, or we had made some adjustments and amendments, as, for example, the small editing issue that I had suggested, and there were other amendments. So now I take it the drafters will have to go back and make those amendments and then present the B list to us in the next meeting. The B list, as far as I'm aware, is not ready now for us to consider. So it will have to be in a final meeting where we come together, put the B list for consideration. And then, of course, we, you know, those of us who feel that some of the issues were left out, we will then table those issues for a minority report so that Lindy can capture them. That is how I see the process going forward. Thank you, Chair.
Lizelle, why do you have to put your proposal? Let me withdraw. Okay. Can I give over to other hands? Alex?
Thank you, Chairperson. Honourable Van der Merwe covered me. That's what I was going to say as well. But also then to further add that we then not make the same mistake that we did last week, and that the members are given 48 hours to receive the new B list, to go over it within 48 hours, and then we deliberate on the B list. Thank you, Chairperson. Sorry, Chairperson, because what you answered, because you remember you answered me now, and you said that the all our contributions now would still go back. So that's just in response to what you replied to me earlier. Thank you, Chair.
No, don't misunderstand me. What I've said is that what you raised, A list to have adopted it and we have agreed. What I'm saying is that if you are not satisfied with all what have been discussed, it will reflect in the report that will be tabled by our committee. So don't think that those things that you have proposed and submitted will be thrown out of the bin. And I was just saying, I just want to hear from the committee members on how to go forward, out of Lindy has explained. Because advocates and legal advisors has explained everything that this thing is encompasses, and also on how to go forward. We can't be, honorable members, going backwards and forward, because I am even under pressure that at least this is not supposed to have happened. You have explained yourselves, we have explained, I have already explained, advocates explained why this and why that, and why section 160 instead of 159 and 150, all those things. Honorable Stock, I have just said so.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I just want to appreciate the manner in which you have actually handled this entire process. I mean, you, in terms of my own view, you went even overboard, you know. Everything that members were actually proposing, or in terms of bringing back their issues, must be flighted. We have actually acceded to their request. So I just wanted to put that on record, and also appreciate the fact that you have been very accommodative. I just wanted to appreciate that part. And then, Honorable Chair, I also don't want to misinterpret your summary of the meeting. After the A-list has been adopted and agreed to. My understanding is that the A-list is presented by the legal team. We have adopted it, but the issues that have not been covered, which were coming from the proposed amendments from the honorable members, those that are not in the A-list that we have not adopted, what you are saying, if I understood you correctly, you are saying they will be covered in the form of a minority report, which will be covered at a later stage. So meaning that the issues are not thrown out of the window. That's how I understand what the chair was saying. But if I'm wrong, the chair, you are at liberty to correct me in terms of your earlier summary on the A-list. But when it comes to the issue of whether we are supposed to proceed to the next item, Honorable Chair, I just wanted to propose maybe we must give it to, the legal team, the legal gurus, they must be able to advise us as to whether they are ready or what is the process, how we can move forward. I just wanted to make that submission. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Stock. You have covered me exactly on what you have said. Please, thank you very much for assisting me. Maybe it's the language that I have put it, but I think now Alex has understood me on what is it that I'm saying. Because the reality of the matter, they wanted to express themselves and put reasons and tell us why are they saying this to happen and this to be included. And we all understood them, and we are saying A list for now. All those that are in the A list have been adopted and seconded. Can we get the legal team and assist us? Whoever is able to assist us to move forward.
Thank you, Chairperson, the legal advisor, the parliamentary legal advisor. Chairperson, the next step now, with the bill having been adopted by the committee, With that amendment, the editing amendment as proposed by Honorable Van der Merwe, would be to go into the B version, Chair, which is the B bill. Essentially, Chairperson, the B version is just the list of committee amendments as having been adopted today. Going into the bill as introduced. So what we will be considering essentially in the next meeting of the committee, if the committee so decides, is the B version, which will have removed all of these clauses that the committee has rejected now to go into the committee bill. And we will be left only with these clauses that the committee has adopted today in the B version. So no new clauses, or there will be no new surprises in that B version, which is different from the A. It's just that it will be formalized now and look like the bill that was introduced before the committee, and highlighting where the areas have been, the areas of change where would have included the information that is in the list. We will also, Chairperson, lastly, amend the memorandum of that bill to delete all of these clauses that have been rejected and only reflect as a memo to that bill these relevant clauses, Chairperson. Thank you, Chairperson. That is the point.
The question was, when do you think you'll be ready, looking at the 48 hours? Because we've got a pressure in terms of having and holding meetings to get the results period.
Yes, Chairperson. Chairperson, if it was that the committee would proceed on the basis of what is agreed today, which is the adopted A list, we have the B version ready, Chair. The only thing that is not ready in that B version is the memo. The memo just to delete these clauses which the committee has rejected today. Otherwise, we have the draft B bill, Chairperson, and it's been shared with members. So we can even present it today.
You can present it today.
We have got the B version, Chairperson. Yes, thank you.
And then the memo?
Memo, Chairperson, is the one that's outstanding. We have instructed our service provider, CREDA, which Lindy were referred to earlier, which formalizes the amendments, for them to amend the memo for us. So that's the only outstanding thing, Chair. It's not ready. The memorandum is not ready. Otherwise, the B bill itself is ready.
Okay.
Chair?
Lindy?
Chair, can I also make a proposal? And also to avoid some surprises of not being able to deliver within the 48 hours. How about to have our last meeting next week, where we'll have the B version, as also to look at the committee report on the bill, and then we know we conclude the process. We do those two items in one day.
Sure. Next week, what is the date next week? It might not be
Wednesday, any day of next week, because we're on recess. So what will be the suitable day for all members so that we can submit an application? We know we're done with all the process.
Honorable Sir? Honorable Sir? The day of the meeting?
No, thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I'm now, having listened to what Honorable Van der Merwe earlier on said, and Honorable Abrams, and also listening to Mr. Mjenglan, legal advisor. I'm now persuaded, because I thought when he said he's ready, he's able to present, but when the memo is not there, I'm actually persuaded that we just have to reschedule the meeting for next week so that we comply with the 48-hour notice to allow members enough time also to get the documents, peruse them, make them prepare for the meetings. So I don't know, because there are honorable members that have got issues, and the chair also was raising it. Honorable Bilangulu, Honorable Manganye, and yourself also, honorable person, you've got issues. Maybe you are. Let's throw it back to you, and then maybe you can just advise as to which other day, or maybe Honorable Bilankulu can come in. Those that are affected by the date of Wednesday, so we try to find each other for the dates and the proposed dates and all of that. So that's what I wanted to submit, Honorable Chair. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Honorable Stock. Is Honorable Bilankul with us? I know for a fact that this load set is kicking up.
I'm with you. You're still here in the meeting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can you come up with a day? Because of this memo that is not ready now.
Presently for next week, I won't give you any date because the whole of next week I'm occupied. So I can listen to other members, but with me, the whole of next week has got something.
Okay. Fourth. Can I propose the Monday? I know for a fact that we might not get the permission. It's an organizational day. Or Tuesday, between the two.
Honorable Chair, sorry, Tuesday it's okay for me. It's fine.
Yes.
Thank you, Chair.
It's fine. It's fine for Tuesday. I'm afraid to put a whip. I'm afraid to put Monday.
No, they won't put Monday.
Yeah, Tuesday.
Tuesday. Yes. Okay. Honorable Mutawang is suggesting that Tuesday we can have the meeting. Oh, my daughter. It needs not to be a long, long meeting like this one. Thank you very much, Honorable Members. Tuesday, Lindy, prepare for us, legal advisors. By that time, the memo will be ready, and then we will finalize this. The whole, or the whole constituency, we have spent it dealing with this. But nevertheless, we have tried really to accommodate everyone, and we've been patient enough today so as to listen to one another. Thanks ever so much for those that comrades or honorable members and officials that managed to get to the meeting. The meeting has adjourned.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Bye, 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 honorable.
Thank you, Chair. Bye, bye.
Bye.